don't put glitter and macaroni on your script. Don't use, you know, 22-point fonts on your script. Make it look like a script.
Hello and welcome to Simply Radio, a whole new season. Today on Simply Radio, we have with us Don and John and Pia. And our guest today is Brian O'Malley, who is the head honcho over at screenplayreaders.com. So he should have a lot of information for us. I'd like to turn it over right now to Brian so that he can give himself a short bio so that we know who he is, and then we'll ask some questions. Brian?
Hey, thanks. My name is Brian O'Malley. I go by B. Scott O'Malley. I'm a filmmaker. I've been working in independent films since right around 1985. I've written, directed, and produced 5 feature films and countless shorts and music videos. I founded the script coverage company screenplayreaders.com in 1998 or 99, I can't really remember, and I've been providing script coverage on the internet to agents and screenwriters, managers, and producers ever since, and I have just completed my first book, The Hollywood Cheat Book, which is a book on screenwriting, producing, directing, acting, and networking in the film industry.
Very good. Now, I'm gonna skip to the part that interests me. I mean, all of it interests me, but one thing that I'm fascinated with is that you worked with Roger Corman in the 90s. And Roger Corman's like a legend. And I was just curious how that experience was.
That was actually, the single most important experience of my young film career, actually. I had just completed a feature film called Bleak Future back in 1997, and was trying to shop it around and get distribution for it, and it was kind of a long road to hoe because the film really isn't that good. And so I ended up over at Film Threat talking to Chris Gore. He was talking about possibly distributing it on his label, and then we just got to talking, and I was telling him, I don't know what the next step is. You know, Sundance didn't take my wonderful film here, I don't know what to do. And he said, you know what, just go over to Roger Corman's studio in Venice and intern, and you'll be directing in a year, I guarantee it. And I was kind of dubious. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound, well, what the heck. And I went over and I put in my resume and then started interning probably 4 months later, answering phones. And then the next thing you know it, I was doing craft service. And then after that, I was rewriting scripts for the head writer on a TV show called Black Scorpion. The script would come in, and basically they'd say, okay, we've got 20 explosions in here, and we don't have enough money to do those 20 explosions, so Brian, can you pare it down a little bit and then get it back to us, and then we'll get it back to the writer and Roger for approval. And so I would just go through there and rewrite stuff to, I'd turn in a 20-person bar fight into a 2-person bar fight or a fight in a parking lot, that kind of stuff. And I just did that for about a year. And I'd been there actually probably 2 years by then. And then it just kind of, just kind of turned into, writing coverage for Francis Dole over there, reading random scripts submitted to Roger. They kind of wanted to just keep their eye on anything that came in, and I basically started coverage writing it for Francis, who was the development VP. I believe it was Roger's right-hand gal over there. And, that turned into Screenplay Readers eventually.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic experience. You know, I read somewhere that Roger Corman always had this rule about scripts and that every 15 pages there had to be skin. Is that true?
from my experience, it was definitely it was either skin or something similar. But the thing is, my the bulk of my time at the Roger Corman studio was pretty much we were writing a television show. So it was pretty much, this was going to, it ended up, I believe, on Sci-Fi, but it was, you know, he was trying to get it on network, so we were super safe and going against the grain, I guess,
okay,
for Roger's usual modus operandi.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay, so I'm going to step back for a few, and we're going to let our panel ask you some questions. I guess we'll start off with John.
Yeah, hi, Brian. I'm just asking you about your coverage company. So did that grow out of the experiences you'd had with Roger Corman? You said that turned into Screenplay Readers.
It did, yeah. I had been developing a web kind of a presence for my film company since early 95 when the web was kind of like super nascent. And so that was on one hand, and then I was developing all these coverage skills on the other hand, and I'm thinking, well, why not put these two together and see if I can throw up a PayPal button and, you know, make a living at this. And I, you know, it was a slow burn at first, but I got it off the ground and started really churning after about a year.
Cool. Okay. So I see on the website you have, you employ a bunch of different readers that you sort of send the scripts out to who do the coverage and send it back. How do you, how do people sort of become those readers? How do you find those people that you're going to use?
That's pretty much the toughest part of the job. It's finding those quality people, because while there's a ton of people out there that will, oh, yes, I want to read a script. That sounds awesome. Well, I'll read a script for money. That's easy work. You know, a ton of those people, it's not really useful to hire somebody like that if they're just going to churn out something where they, you know, it's very clear they don't know what they're talking about. And the agent who I've now built a reputation with is depending on me to provide quality coverage, reads this coverage from a writer who doesn't really know what, or excuse me, a reader who doesn't really know what they're talking about. That kind of looks bad on me. So I really go through a hardcore screening process where I've got to, you know, look at their resume. I got to follow up on the references. They've got to have significant industry experience. They can't just be fresh out of college unless they've got exceptional coverage experience under their belt. And then I have to read one or two of their coverages. And if their style matches ours, if it's not so much like, if it's a fit, then we hire them. We don't hire angry script readers, for example. Like if you're basically taking out, we tell our readers, don't take your aggressions out on our clients. So it's got to be really constructive coverage, and that's really rare to find.
Okay, cool. Do you do any of the reading yourself anymore? Is that something that you sort of send on to people?
Yeah, I don't do too much of the coverage anymore. I pretty much I'm relegated towards the. It's kind of a service I don't really advertise on the website. It's kind of a one-on-one, more like a script doctoring consultation type situation where I work with one or two clients every here and there to do really in-depth script notes rather than just doing the coverage. I relegate that pretty much to Lynn and the rest of the readers.
So when someone comes to you or sends a script into your company, looking at the book, you say that is it fair to say that the most important thing is that they have a hook that is going to make their script marketable?
Yes, that's you know, I don't so much you know, educate my the readers who work with me to kind of, you know, take on the coverage from that angle so much, because I've got a different philosophy, which I can talk about later about that. But if I'm working one-on-one with somebody, then yeah, I'm going to basically tell them up front, you know, this is working or it's not working. And one of the first things I got to tell them is, look, we got to just put this aside or find a better hook for it, because it's really not going to go anywhere unless you can describe it like you would be telling an elevator pitch or telling a good joke that's very memorable. If it doesn't have that hook, I can't work with you to give it that hook, or you're kind of digging in about, you know, changing your script to provide that hook, then there's not much I can do. But I will help you in other areas because, you know, I do have to make a living, so I will help you clean up the structure, you know, make the characters more interesting. My you know, secondary thing after the hook is, okay, let's just make every single scene an awesome scene. Let's make everything as original as possible. And I just kind of drill that. And then after that, all the tertiary, you know, save the cat stuff that, you know, structure and format and all that good stuff comes way after that for me.
Sort of going from that, is it fair to say in a way that the stuff that comes before the writing, the thinking of the idea, you know, the working out where it sort of slots into the genre you're writing in or whatever, is that as important as the actual process itself? As in, do most scripts, you know, whether they're going to succeed or not in terms of whatever happens to them, is that as much decided before anything's written as anything else?
In my opinion, yeah. I generally try not to foist that too much on the people I work with, but in my opinion, it's really, if you've got a great, amazing hook, but you've got a stack of paper that's kind of crappy, I mean, that can help you still. You can use that because someone could buy that idea and turn it into a stack of paper that's not crappy. You know, if it's an amazing hook, it can go somewhere. If you've got no hook, but an amazing script, it's going to be, it's definitely, I personally would rather be a writer that's created an awesome script with no amazing hook. But the true, reality, as I've seen it from my sector of the, or my perspective of the business is, without a hook, you just might as well just go right in a corner because it's, you've got to get that thing read. You've got to infect other people with it. It's got to be shootable and it's got to be, it's got to make money. So if it doesn't have a hook, it's not going to do any of that.
And so in terms of the people you send it out to, there's three ratings. There's recommend, consider, and pass. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, right. So what would a script have to do in order? I understand that recommend readings are pretty rare. You only give out a couple a year as a company.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sounds about right. What would a script have to, be like in order to get that sort of holy grail of a rating?
Generally, the readers that work for Screenplay Readers, they're the type of readers that when a recommend comes in, when they turn in a recommend, it's like, okay, stop. The whole machine shuts down. Does not compute. Hold on. I'm going to go open this script, look at it, read the alarm bells go off, and then I'll stick that in a separate folder, along with my photos of Bigfoot and UFOs. But definitely to reach a recommend, Each one of the readers that work for Screenplay Readers, they've got kind of their own kind of style, their own kind of criteria, as far as what makes a recommend. Although there is some baseline criteria, by and large, the ones that have come across our desk that are recommends are just from page one to page 90. You just keep flipping, and that's pretty much a really general way to put it, but that's kind of the best way I can describe it because they've ran the gamut really, and it's probably around 20 since maybe 20 maybe 30 since I started the business that have gotten recommends.
Would we have heard? I mean, I'm not sure if you're allowed to say, but would we have heard of any of the scripts that you've given recommends that have gone on to do anything or become something we might have heard of?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. A lot of people actually just this year have asked me that question, and it's been kind of the first time I've actually really thought about it. Like, they've asked that question kind of in a roundabout way or in different ways. And basically, it's kind of underscored the fact that I kind of probably need to pay more attention as to what happens to in the writing industry in general after screenplay sales and all that. I don't really keep my finger on that particular pulse, but I wouldn't be surprised if one or two that have crossed the Screenplay Reader's desk, whether they're past, considered, or recommends, have probably gone on and done something out there. I just haven't really kept my eye on the ball with that in that respect.
Cool. Okay. Well, there are other questions I could possibly ask, but maybe someone else wants to have a turn.
Very good. Who would like to have a turn? Don, Pia?
Okay, so you've been a studio leader and you've been an agency leader. Is there any difference in the two, or are they looking for the same things?
Let's see. As an agency reader, it was pretty much, I worked for a boutique agency that was talent and literary, but it was primarily talent. And the rep guys like Bernie Coppell, and it wasn't like an A-list type of situation. They were really super concerned about finding something that was a fit for, hey, Brian, go read this, and if it's a fit for middle-aged, 40 to 60, kind of, we want him chubby, or we want a schlep, or we want a good-looking guy, or, the drug dealer on Breaking Bad, Raymond Cruz, Tuco, he played Tuco on Breaking Bad, he was repped by this agency a long time ago, and so they would read, they would ask me to read for parts, looking for stuff for him. And then as opposed to, working for Roger Corman was just basically looking for, it wasn't really looking, with talent in mind. It was looking for the hook, the saleability, the, as Michael said, you know, the boobs on every page or every 15 pages. Kind of just like the, is it a Corman type of picture? And I don't mean to demean Corman. I mean, the guy brought in some of the greatest art films, to America. He brought those over from Europe. So, he's not just a schlockmeister in my mind. Definitely. I don't want you to get the wrong impression of my opinion of him.
Okay, so what you're saying then is that let's say I have a script, okay, and I want to try to send it to an agency or a studio, okay? Should I be really careful or try to find the right one for my particular type of script, or can you just kind of pick anybody?
And you're speaking from a writer's point of view?
Yeah.
If you're going to be sending in cold, I definitely recommend, I mean, that's better than just having your script do nothing and sit on your desk. But as far as tailoring it to either, you know, a studio reader or a talent agency reader for the maximum impact, I would probably just say tailor it for the script reader in general, which is overworked, usually between 20 and 35. They got a long commute ahead of them. They're probably reading five other scripts over the weekend. And, you kind of want them to, you know, look at the title page and read the first page or two and get a buzz and decide to take your script home over the other 20 on their pile. As far as like tailoring it for talent or studio, you really can't go wrong, if you just tailor it for that kind of generic script reader that I've just kind of sketched out in kind of stereotypical form.
Okay, so in your business script coverage, are you writing pretty much the same kind of coverage that you did back then when you worked for agencies or distributor, or is your business different?
What I used to write, me personally, coverage for Roger Corman and for media artists, pretty much were, you know, the coverage of a young, frustrated filmmaker. So it was very angry, very taken out. Oh, this is garbage. This is good. You know, it was very kind of critical, hypercritical. And as I've kind of mellowed over the years, I've gotten to the point of, I kind of went too far in the other direction, which was I'm trying to help the writer. I want to make him, you know, I want to make his script better. I want to, you know, I was kind of giving too much of myself and too much of my readers, expecting too much of my readers. And where I found the balance was, what you got to do is, where I found the balance was basically give them, meaning the writer who's submitting the script for coverage, give them the most accurate kind of simulation, the most accurate kind of real world simulation of coverage that they would get if they sent it in cold to an agency or a producer. Give them that, which is kind of, you know, neutral. It's not kind of holding your hand saying, yes, encouraging you to write a better script and educating you on film screenwriting technique, but it's not super abrasive and critical or super critical. It's just that kind of like, all right, here's a matter of fact, this is what it is. And the only kind of difference between the real world coverage you'd get, say, at an agent or a producer and ours is at an agency or producer, they're probably going to be more tailored with their, you know, what that company's looking for in mind. You know, with us, we kind of leave out the stuff like, yeah, we picture it, our coverage don't include stuff like, yeah, we picture this target market being this and the demo being that, and it's going to play well with women and it's going to cost $5 million. We don't do any of that. We just basically say the script is this. It needs this. It has this. This is working. This is what's not. And where we don't go into too much detail. Oh, well, actually, and one kind of thing that sets us apart from that kind of other coverage too is I kind of drill it into our team's head that we don't want to say in the coverage, the writer needs to do this, the writer needs to do that. We're basically saying the script needs this, the script needs that. So we kind of detach it from the personal kind of connection, and we try to just focus on that real world simulation as much as possible. And that's actually the feedback we've gotten. That's where our most success has been is in that real world approach to it, rather than the hand holding or the harshly critical. Although we have been overly critical at times, and we have been overly hand holding at times.
Okay, I have one more question. The people that lead at your company, and also compared to agency and studio leaders, how much time does each person spend on one script, and how many pages of coverage do they usually write? Is there a difference between your company and the agency and studio leaders?
I would say it's different from every company to company. Generally, our script coverages here are the required for, you know, as outlined in the contract with our readers, is, you know, 2 to 3 pages. Which includes a page of synopsis, a page of comments, and just, you know, the standard headers up at the top telling you who's the writer, how it was submitted, the date and all that. But as far as the page duration or the page amount, it's usually between 2 and 3 required, but then we end up, our readers are sometimes turning in 5, 6, 7 page coverages, which, you know, in that kind of instance, I've got to kind of scale them back. Like, okay, guys, you know, don't spend so much time on this. We want to give the writer as much as we can, but we can't give the writer all of this. And then the next time the writer submits, it goes to a different reader and he gets 2 or 3 pages as opposed to 6 that he got the first time. And now this writer is upset that, you know, he's like, this wasn't the coverage I got last time, I was really happy with it. So we really got to manage expectations. And as far as time per script, we've got readers that read, you know, they turn out a coverage within 2-3 hours, and then we've got some that take 3 days. And we never pressure them for turnaround time, other than, you know, make it within, if you can't take the script within, if you can't turn around the script and get us coverage back within 72 hours, and a little bit over that sometimes, then don't take the script. But the benefit is you don't have to take every script that comes you don't have to take every script that comes your way. You can turn some down, and that's totally cool. Work at your own pace.
Thanks for that. I have a friend that was one time, he was going to be one of the leaders for a competition, and they sent him 25 scripts, and he had to do it over 1 weekend. And I'm like, how are you going to do that? You know?
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah, we can't do that. We've been accused several times by, you know, our competitors out there who say, yeah, we're just a screenplay readers, is just a script coverage farm. They just hire slave readers and they have to churn out, you know, tons every day, and they don't they're not able to focus on any one. And you know what? It's simply not true. We have a wide roster of readers, and everyone's able to spend a good amount of time. And I tell them right off the bat when we bring them aboard, if you're going to, you know, rush through something, we don't want you. If you're going to copy and paste, you know, your comments from this script or this draft to this script or a new draft of the same script, we don't want you. We want you to put your thought. We want you to put your energy into this. And, you know, give the screenwriter, agent, and producer who's submitting these scripts, give them the care that they're looking for, you know, and give them that value, because our business model is basically repeat business. It's not going out and farming new, although that is part of it. Our prime business model is just building those relationships.
And I have one more question, and then I promise I will shut up. One of the most common, I would say, or always get heated up things on the website at SimpliScripts is format. How much do you guys that actually do read professionally, how much do you care about format? And I'm not talking about extreme levels. I'm just talking about, you know, some people like bold slog lines. Some people, you know what I'm saying? I mean, some people are really Nazis about the format thing, you know what I mean? How much do you guys care about that?
Well, we feel one of our, I don't know if it's a mission statement, but one of the major tenets of our philosophy here is the value that we have to give to our screenwriter, agent, producers who are submitting scripts to us for coverage. We've got to be honest with them, and even if that's brutal, and if brutal honesty isn't your deal, we tell you on the website, then please choose another script coverage company. But part of being brutally honest is telling you, look, don't put glitter and macaroni on your script. Don't use, you know, 22-point fonts on your script. Make it look like a script. You know, don't, if it...
I'm sorry. I was thinking more like, you know, asides, like, you know, some people put little funny things in the, like in the action lines, like just for kind of the reader's pleasure, if you will, you know, does things like that matter? In other words, people know basic format, but they have their own style that some people just totally go crazy about in a negative way, while other people go crazy about it in a positive way. You know what I mean? Like some people say, don't have any words ending with ing. Do those things matter? Do you guys care about stuff like that?
No. If it looks like a script and smells like a script, we're good. If it doesn't, we'll tell you. And our aesthetics are 12-point Courier font, 1-inch margins on all side, and it's gotta look like a script. If it doesn't, we'll tell you. But we're not gonna be like, we're not gonna proofread you, or if your usage is really bad or your punctuation is really bad, we're gonna mention it and we'll give you a couple of examples in the script note, in the script coverage, but we're not going to break it down. On page 8, you've got this and this and this and this, and on page 9, our script note service and the consultation I do with folks, I'll do that. I'll just give them everything. But script coverage is like, here's a couple of examples on page 9 and page 10, but then just look for it throughout, that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, that was so informative, Brian. You have no idea.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, we love hearing about format on Simply Scripts.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most popular topics. And I think that Don has a question now that he'd like to
ask. Yeah, I do. I do. And again, I'm taking off, going a little farther with Pia's question and also to Mike's comment that, or Michael's comment that there is a huge raging debate about format. And this is a just for fun question. Most recently, the two big debates were the use of fade in and the use of we see. And so I would like, what are your views on this? So if you see a script and they use, you know, like we see, you know, orphan boy trottling across the street, if a script does not begin with fade in, just so we can just add some more fuel to this really, really knock down, drag out debate, I would like to get your views on this. And any other script readers that we have, I'm going to ask them the same question just so I can kind of gauge that. But anyway, so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, if I had to pick between we see the orphan boy crossing the street and orphan boy crosses the street, you know, we see in general, I know what you're talking about. It's like, do you want to use we in general going throughout? But me, I kind of take a cold, hard look at it. I'm like, that's like 2 or 3 extra words. Get rid of those words. I'm all about telling, you know, the story in as least amount of words as possible. And I've got an entire chapter in my book saying, like, give me the white space or give me death. You know, if you look at a script, I've got to see white space for me personally. As far as my reader's standards, I kind of, you know, I let them be the judge as far as, you know, whether we see or fade in is appropriate. I see them as completely fine, but me, you know, preference wise, it's going to be like the least amount of words as possible. And then as far as fade in goes, I would say leave that to the directors, you know, or, you know, the heavy handed producers. Don't bother with fade ins or any sort of camera directions unless it's absolutely vital to the script reader understanding your story.
Cool. Well, thank you for your input.
And I thought your book was lots of fun and it was very amusing and very insightful. And I was just, I just wanted to remind you that you should let us know when it does get published so that we can
Absolutely.
Tell people about it. And I figure at this time, it's a good time to ask if anybody else has any other questions.
I do. I have lots, but I can pick one.
Well, go ahead, Pia. Ask a question. We can go a little bit over time. I think it's okay.
Okay. I mean, you have some pretty good credits. I mean, you have a writer, director, editor, producer, actor, composer, you know, and all kinds of things. What do you like best? What do you prefer to do if you could choose?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm kind of in this phase. I've been telling my friends and family, I've been going gung-ho as a filmmaker. I'm going to be the next Steven Spielberg, and since I was probably 12 years old. And now that I'm approaching 40, I'm kind of like rethinking that. I'm looking at all the features I've made, and I'm looking at the ratings on IMDb, and I'm seeing how much traction I've gotten with them. And it's, you know, I've gotten a feature on Netflix over here, and over here I've gotten a feature distributed in Russia and Germany, and this one over here is a kind of a cult hit. And, you know, but it's not really, you know, nothing's really taken off there. So I'm kind of in this weird spot where I'm like, all right, what do I want to do with my life? If I'm going to make a film, it's got to be, you know, if I'm going to make a film as a director, I've got to just take a deep breath and like, and go for, you know, go for this, you know, huge kind of mountain in front of me, which is I've got to do 10 times better than all my features that have come before me. And right now I'm kind of just like in that space where I'm trying to figure out if I've got that energy, if I want to even go that way, or if I want to focus my energy more towards my writing. Or so I'd have to say I really like directing and creating the entire picture from scratch, you know, producing it, writing it, and directing it. But I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, ah, do I really have the energy to keep doing that? Maybe I could just keep writing. So I'm kind of in a soul-searching mode right now is the short answer.
Any last suggestions for writers out there on what to do when they have their script, where to send it?
Well,
or how to get read, I should say.
Well, the first thing that a writer can do, that he must do, is be honest with himself about that script, as far as whether or not it's good, whether or not it sucks. Before he sends it out, before he even thinks about sending it out, you've really got to learn how to be honest with yourself, and that's a mountain in and of itself. The second thing you need to do is get your script read, either by a script coverage company or a reader's group or just anyone outside of your friends and family. They're basically going to give you feedback and be open to that feedback, and that's going to inform the first thing, which is finding out whether or not your script sucks. Make sure that your script is good. Make sure it has an awesome hook, and be honest with yourself. But then the third, probably most important thing is you need to get to LA and start networking with people one-on-one, you know, and make friends, because it really is who you know in the industry. There's a lot of multi-million dollar movies out there that are getting made, and they're based on really crappy scripts. And, you know, it's either the script is completely magical or it's because somebody knows someone. And you need to really just get to know people if you're going to have a chance at getting your script, because it might be the greatest script ever written, but if you don't network with the right people, it's never going to see the light of day.
So we know you now.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even. I would say you'd probably want somebody a little more networked than I am, actually.
You gotta go meet Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I'll call him to see if he can...
All right, so I think that John had another question.
Yeah, just two ones very quickly. One was based on something you said earlier, and the second one something that comes up a lot on Simply Scripts, and it'd be really nice to see what your answer would be. The first one, you said your business model is based off repeat business. That's what you said earlier.
Right.
I'm not saying this happens at all, but is there not a danger then that because your thing's based on repeat business, and I'm guessing people send back newer drafts of scripts that you've already covered, does that happen quite often?
Oh, you wouldn't believe how much of a headache that is. That is basically, yes, the repeat business is the thing for us, building relationships with people that trust our critical eye. The problem is when, and I've just experienced this for the first time to this degree just this year, actually between December and now. A gentleman who had submitted a script to us had submitted it now. It was a good probably 20, maybe 21 times in the last probably 6 months. And at some point, I was telling him probably around draft five, I'm like, you know, if you're not going to, and I tell everybody this, if the script hasn't changed significantly, please don't expect the coverage to change significantly. We don't want to be sitting here taking your money and putting our, you know, getting our readers and making our readers busy when they could be reading other scripts, just to reread, you know, a script that's not that different than the first. You're not going to be that satisfied with the coverage if it's not that different from the script. But this guy just kept submitting, and I guess he got value out of it. But I had to, at some point, I said, okay, this is it. You know, after 20 or 21 times, I said, we were just out of readers, and I just don't have the, you know, the heart to keep reading this script. You really got to just take a year and then come back.
And by that point, surely you must have been sick, just sick of the sight of it as well.
I don't know. He was a really cool Japanese fellow, so he was very kind of, thank you for the coverage. That was,
yeah,
thank
sure.
you, thank you. You know, it wasn't very, whereas we've got people, you know, going on tirades sometimes, you know, if they've received, you know, reader X reads and gives it a recommend, then the next draft comes in and reader Y reads it and gives it a pass, and I get, you know, I've lost and I've, you know, blacklisted a lot of people that just crawled down my throat over that kind of thing. Well, how could that be? You know, well, there's two different readers and look, there's like eight different things between the two coverages that you could find that are really cool things that you could, if you were just open-minded, you could kind of put those together and improve your script and kind of ignore the ratings and just treat this as kind of a trial run. But, you know, some people just won't be appeased no matter what. And that's a big danger of our business because it's so subjective. You know, we're not a stranger to the refund or, you know, trying to make things right with coupon codes and that kind of thing.
But okay, so people come back with the same script. Is there does it not occasionally? I mean, I'm sure it doesn't happen. But if you need people to keep on coming back with the same scripts in order to keep, you know, the business model going, is there not a danger that readers will be more likely to give something a pass so that the same person will come back and try and go for a higher rating?
That is one of those philosophies I've tried to kind of inculcate in the team. We're not here to, you know, bait. We're not here to put out a piece of cheese and, okay, well, if you fix this and this and this, then I could see this working. But you know what? That's what all of our coverage is, you know, the reader says, okay, if you fix this and this and this and this, I could see this working, which is basically what coverage is. And so some clients will then do this and this and this and this, and they'll think that they've kind of done this and this and this to the exact specifications that the reader has indicated. And maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But then the script will come in, and it'll either go to the same reader or a different reader. And then it'll get the same grade, or it won't get a recommend. And then that client will be very frustrated. But, you know, that's kind of like a very careful line we have to walk. I have to make it very clear to the clients and to the readers that we're not here to, you know, okay, well, hey, maybe next time we'll, you know, if you just do this, you know, and pay another, you know, $60, we can definitely give you, and we definitely don't sell our ratings. We don't, you know, we'll give you we'll give you a recommend if you give us a 60. If we did that, we would be completely out of respect and customers permanently.
Cool. Okay. The other question, which is very quick, which comes up a lot in the scripts. If I was to send you a script or your company a script that I'd written in Celtex rather than Final Draft, are you going to know I've written it in Celtex? Are you going to instantly see that the format's completely wrong and give me a hard time about that? Or is it not possible to tell the difference?
I haven't been able to tell the difference.
Okay,
especially
thank you.
If you can export to PDF, that's great. It saves us some time. But if you send us a Celtex file, we'll open that up and, you know, we're good with that. It's
cool. Okay. Right. Okay. Just putting that one to rest.
Well, as you can see, Brian, we have lots of questions about format. And I think based upon our show's format, this is about the end of it. And I'd like to thank you very much for coming on and joining us for the first edition of the second season of Simply Radio. And you did great and you were very informative. And I'm sure everybody will love listening to what you have to say. And I guess, and thank you to the panel also for showing up. And that's the end of the show. Thanks.
Thank you. I'd like to let you know if any of your listeners would be interested in getting 15% off. You can just enter the coupon code SIMPLYRADIO during checkout at screenplayreaders.com, and we'll give you 15% off any of our services. If you want to include that in the bit, you can. If you don't, that's cool too.
Well, there you go. You get that extra little bit for listening to the end of the show. Did you hear that, everybody?
Awesome.